Eric Edholm from Yahoo.com said 90% that the pro leagues start. Finishing is a whole nother conversation. But 5%, he said, before this announcement about an hour ago, that college football would start. Matt Shepard, speaking of the pros.
5%?
Yeah, Eric Edholm said 5% that college, he said 90% that the NFL would start, 5% that college football would start. And that was before the Big Ten conference games only announcement. Wow.
Well, what is that? You know what that's based on? Is that his opinion?
Yeah, it was just his opinion. No, just his opinion. Oh, okay. He was. I was saying on your own, your guesstimate. Yeah. I was saying, what do you think? And then 40 minutes later, we get word that the Big Ten is going to do conference games only. And I think they're going to wait and see where things are. And they might not start their season if things are still hot with the cases rising. They may not start their season till end of September. Do a shorter season.
Well, you could be right. I mean, that would give them a 10-game season, right, Billy? If it's just conference games for the Big Ten, just a 10-game campaign, right? Is that what it would be then?
Yeah. 10, and they might even knock it down even more to get a conference championship game in.
Here's the thing, and again, this, everybody's got these opinions. You take football out of most, I'm not saying all, most college campuses, you watch what happens. That's a massive amount of money. The amount of money brought in by football for most schools, you'll never make it up. It will be near devastating for a lot of colleges. And I get it, right? I don't know about Yahoo Sports. I don't know if that's a fear thing. I don't know the scare tactic and all that other stuff. I'm telling you, man, this is, we've gotten to the point where we're hearing only about the negative things when it comes to this, and not the positive. Joe West, Major League Baseball umpire, taking a lot of grief, right? You've probably talked about it. 130,000 deaths, one is too many, but he says, you know, I believe a lot of these are not necessarily related. You look at the numbers, you know, people are talking about all the hospitals being overflowing. You know, 15%, I'm reading 15% of these hospitals are in their ICU are only COVID, 15%. I mean, at some point, and I'm not saying I know exactly when, but it's almost as if people are so scared that they're almost shaming and scaring some of these either institutions or leagues into peeling back. And I worry about where it's going. I worry about a lot of schools and how much money they're going to be able to make.
See, I look at the pros. They stand alone. It's a different animal. Unless players or personnel are going into ICU units and they're critical, or God forbid people dying in a league or a bubble or a hub or at a major league ballpark, they're going to persevere. And you mentioned money they pay players and money they get from the TV deals. The universities... Right. And no matter what Ward Manuel or Harbaugh, and Harbaugh even said it, it's up to Ward and the medical science, that school president and the message they sent last spring, if there's no students on campus, there are no sports, bottom line.
Yeah, but they get money, too, from these TV contracts as well.
I know.
So, let's not separate. I think you have a good example regarding what you can do in the pros compared to collegiately. But the colleges are making a ton of money off television, too. And people may like it or may not, but it's a huge revenue source for these schools, not just the athletic programs, but for these schools. And if that goes away, Bill, even for just 1 year, I mean, think about how much money. You use Ward Manuel, so let's use Michigan as an example. How much money does Michigan bring in per home game? What would you guess?
A couple mil? I'm going to say a couple million, and might be low?
No, that's very low. Yeah.
I'm not talking TV money. We're not talking TV money. We're talking tickets, suites, seats, concessions, right? All the money surrounding the game.
Yeah, you're looking at probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million.
$10 million a home day?
Oh. 116.
Well, I know, no, that's what I'm saying. I know they had to pay you back in the day when you were doing Michigan play by play on basketball. That's Harbaugh. That's Harbaugh-esque money right there. So,
well, yeah. I mean, think about that. Okay, so let's say I mean, you could easily see that with 110,000 people there.
$85 a ticket. Let's say average price will go $75, $85 a ticket. There,
okay.
Do the math on that. Right.
Right. There you go. And then you're talking about
suites.
Doesn't include parking. Yeah.
Suites. Club seats. Yeah. The license
right
seats.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Slissel, the president at Michigan, Shep, back in I think April, May, when he was talking about he projected, and this is before things started to turn the corner, that the school could lose $1 billion in their fiscal year. A billion.
Sure. Yeah.
A billion.
Yeah. Now, Michigan can handle that, right? The Ivy League schools, I'm not saying it's easy, but, I mean, because of their endowment. I mean, everyone's praising the Ivy League for taking the quote-unquote lead. They can handle it because of the endowment there. They don't give scholarships in the Ivy League. There's no scholarships there, all right? Maybe academic, but there's no athletic scholarships. It's a lot easier for them to do this than the public universities and the other schools that give out the scholarships. It's giving Bill Simonson a four-year scholarship, paying for everything, and relying on, you know, getting back some of that investment. So, everybody has chosen to take the route they choose, and that's fine, and I can respect it. I just worry about the overall blueprint and what's going to happen moving forward. That's all.
I will tell you this, Shep, that if Stanford has to cut 11 sports after one spring hit and they don't have Pac-10 money or they don't have game day money and they don't have football this fall, you may wipe out entire athletic departments. That's Stanford, and that's a pretty pricey school and a pretty good endowment base. So now you're looking at that second layer of schools beyond the Power Five that completely go out of business if they don't have those football away dates, that payday money. They're going to shut down. They'll get rid of football because that's 85 scholarships. They can keep an athletic department going via Title IX, but they'll lose the scholarships from football. The game of football beyond the Power Five, if there's not a season this year, may be done at most levels.
I don't disagree with you at all. Let's just keep in mind, Stanford at 36 varsity sports. That's ridiculous.
36.
Okay, they lose 11. I mean, Michigan's got 31, put it in perspective.
Well, they had squash. They gave up squash at Stanford.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, they are not wrestling, you know, maybe a little bit of surprising. There's nothing than volleyball. What we need to do is look at the 11 sports they gave up. How much money were those sports bringing in?
Zero.
Right. And how many scholarships are associated with those 11 sports?
Probably, I'll say 100, maybe more, maybe 100 scholarships total, because they do a lot of half scholarships in those non-revenue sports and quarter scholarships.
Right. So, I think, and I've had this debate, I know there are some people who disagree, and that's fine. There's a lot of schools out there, they have too many sports, okay?
I agree.
Mean, you can't sustain it. You can't sustain 36 is... You know, it probably should have never gotten to that anyway. And look, I'm one of those people, Billy, who believes I want kids to play as many sports as they possibly can. I do not want a country where it's only football and basketball. Okay, even those are the only two revenue makers for the most part. I want other sports. Right, my kids play hockey and lacrosse and baseball. All right, I want those sports, but the NCAA has got to find a way, and schools in general have got to find a way to get their sports under control and not have quite as many, and then have those costs for those student athletes passed on to the students in general or the public. I mean, there's too many at some of these schools to actually make it worth an athletic budget while.
Let's go talk to Jim Brandstatter. He is the voice of Michigan football here in the last 90 minutes. Big Ten coming down with word that they won't play non-conference games or events in any sport this fall if they play. And now
that's the key, yeah. You got the Houston. I'm sitting here looking at it.
Right.
And the line in the Big Ten release is, if the conference is able to participate in fall sports.
That was what caught my attention when I finally saw the press release that,
you're a smart guy.
You're
smart like me.
There's not a lot of optimism in that statement, is there?
No. And then it goes on after it, in parentheses, it says all the sports. And then the next line is, based on medical advice. it will move to conference-only schedules in those sports. So, while that's, I mean, news, you know, Bill, there's no question it's news that your non-conference football schedule, which is what we're concerned with, is not going to happen. But it's also news that there's a big if in front of that, and based on medical advice. And that still is up in the air. So, you know, I've been talking about three or four people when this thing came out, and I said, you know, hold your horses now. We're not playing yet. This thing is so crazy. I'm waiting until they say to me, show up at 1 o'clock in Ann Arbor. We're kicking it off against whoever. When that happens, then I'll believe we're going to play football.
You have a situation here where the most important part of this Big Ten announcement when it comes to no non-conference sports or events, games, in all fall sports is at the schools. If the schools change course and announce no students on campus, then there's no debate anymore. Sports is done for the fall.
Right. I mean, already in the Ivy League, they've told them that. Sports are over until 2021 in the Ivy League. So, and again, Bill, you and I and the athletic directors and those administrators and coaches, and we're all hoping, but the reality of life in the world we live in now is the decision probably on this whole thing is going to be made by politicians and medical health professionals.
Yeah, and I believe with the money that's there for college football, that the NCAA at all levels, and the money especially inside the Power Five and at the D1 level, they can't afford a calendar year where they would lose the NCAA tournament revenue and the college football revenue. I think what you'll see is we will see spring football, and the schedules will be played if medically we're there after the first of the year. That's what I predict.
That seems the most logical, to me, that's probably the most logical outcome if in fact, we don't play in the fall. And Bill, just, again, throwing my own 2 cents worth into that, the roster you would expect to field in September, October of 2020, and the roster you will see on the field in February or March of 2021 will be totally different. Guys, the big name players, quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, you know, the big name guys that are having their final year, they're going to be ready to play in the NFL, and they're not going to play in the spring. They're going to be preparing for the NFL draft probably in February. And so I think that they'll forego that. So in my opinion, if you play in the spring, which they may very well do, I think their roster is going to be totally different.
Yeah, you could have Jalen Mayfield not playing because he's going to be, or is projected right now to be, a first round pick on the O-line.
Exactly.
Right. And yeah, you're teams that are NFL loaded. You know, like the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Ohio States. You know, you look at Fields. If he has a chance to go to the NFL, why would he play in the spring? Right. For Ohio State.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but you could play the season. You could do March and without the players. This is about getting the games on TV and getting your TV money losing.
I'm not saying the games won't be compelling or won't be interesting and competitive. That's my point. The point is that those big name guys that you may expect to have been carrying a roster or a team, you know, might not be there in February, March, when they would have been there in September, October of 2020. That's all I'm saying. The games will be fun, and it will be football, and it will be competitive, and they'll figure out some way to, you know, get to a conference championship or, you know, a conference championship with an asterisk or something. So it'll be fun, don't get me wrong, but it's just that the rosters will be totally different.
You know, I had an idea for TV only, and I was talking with somebody last week on air, and I said, you have all these for the Big Ten area. You have Ford Field indoor, and this will be done without fans. You have Ford Field, you have Lucas Oil, you have U.S. Bank Stadium, home of the Vikings. You could even enclose, I don't know if Miller Park, home of the Brewers, could has the configurations for football. But you have some of these dome stadiums where you could play, you could line up and play games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you could start your schedule right after the Super Bowl, and you play February, March into April, and you have your college football playoff in May, and you end your season.
That makes sense. I mean, I got to tell you, I'll bet you that scenario is on somebody's erase board somewhere. And then bring the students' athletes back in mid-August and then get your 2021 schedule going. There will be a lot of negotiations going on in the next season, because you've got some reciprocal agreements, home and homes, that if they get blown out, those schools are going to have to renegotiate.
Jimmy Brandstatter is voice of Michigan football. Big Ten announced this afternoon there will be no non-conference games in all fall sports if they play, and that includes football. They will release the new schedules, they say, at a later date. They're following medical advice, and I think they're going to wait and see here in the next couple of weeks if the fall camps will even open up for fall sports across the board at Michigan and all Big Ten schools.
No, I think that's a smart thing to do, because I think that you've got to be real careful, because if you say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then something happens, and you've got to change in midstream, that's going to put you, me, the players, the coaches, the administration, everybody kind of at a disadvantage all across the country. So, and you know, the other thing, Bill, one size doesn't fit all in this thing. In California, they're closed down again. And what does USC and UCLA do? I mean, the Pac-10's got a problem in that regard. So I just think all across the country, everybody's going through these scenarios. And I think it's one of those free-for-alls where you just don't know what's going to happen next. And you can't pull the trigger too early, because if you do, you might wind up with egg in your face.
Nah, you can wait. You can wait it out until the end of the month. And even with no non-conference games, you now could wait it out to the third week of September.
Yep. No, I think that's being smart.
And you could take away the bye week and the no non-conference games. So you play nine conference games, you take away a bye week, and you take away three non-conference games. That gives you the entire month of September to try and ride it out.
Yep. No, that would be the smart play, and I think that kind of that's where they're going, in my opinion, the Big Ten. And then in my opinion, what they've done is, okay, this is plan A to get us to the end of July.
Yep, I agree. 100%.
At the end of July, we make some more kind of decisions based on the lay of the land.
Yeah, and they might hold off fall camp until the kids are back on campus and give it another month. It's
no, you're right.
Everything's fluid.
And maybe September becomes that workout month. Yeah. September becomes what October, what August used to be.
Yeah, we'll see. Jim Brandstatter, voice of Michigan football, joining us on the Metro Health University of Michigan Health guest line. Jimmy, good to hear your voice. Let's hope we have football, and I'll stay in touch, okay?
Appreciate it, Bill. You guys be well. Stay safe, huh?
All right. Jim Brandstatter joining us on day one